oral history interview in the Black Heritage in the Upper Piedmont series. The interviewer is W.J. Meganson. Our interview is taking place on August the 10th, 1989, at Abel Baptist Church. And we're talking to someone long connected with the church. What is your name, sir?
James Benson.
Could I ask when and where you were born?
I was born in Pickens County, in Township of Central. And the date was June 23rd, 1905.
Let me ask more precisely, were you born at home?
At home.
And was that in town or out?
In the rural, out in the rural.
Which way from Central?
It's south of Central. Mm-hmm.
Down toward what's now 123?
That's right. Southwest down. That's right, it's down 23.
Who were your parents?
My parents was Patrick Benson and Annie and Reese. She was a Reese.
Were they both from the same area where you were born?
In the same area.
If you can, tell us who Patrick Benson's parents were.
His parents was Isaac Benson and Emily Crawford Benson. Mm-hmm.
And they were from the same area as well.
Same area.
Can you tell me anything else about Isaac Benson?
That's my grandmother, my granddaddy.
Yes.
My granddaddy, Isaac, he was, he came from either Spartanburg, up in the area of Spartanburg, near, you know, granted to this area, laid down. In other words, they came to this area. My grandparents, Isaac Benson, came to this area as that was enslaved before freedom. Mm-hmm. They were enslaved when they was immigrated from Spartanburg area to this area here. And then he was young one at that date. And of course, this is where he grew up, mm-hmm. going to be grown here.
What family did he work as a slave for?
It was, they were the Bensons.
And they moved from the Spartanburg area over here?
Yes.
And your grandfather along with them?
That's right.
So your grandfather adopted the same name as his former owner?
Correct.
Okay, and tell us about your Reese grandparents, if you will.
Now, Reese had my mother's side. They were originated in this area. In this area, first we knew about, they was in this area. They first come, they were in. That's where they originated.
Mm-hmm. Do you know their names?
No, they are Reese's.
I mean, what were their first names?
Our grandfather was named Jim Reese. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother, she was a canon, married into the Reese.
What was her first name?
Killa. Mm-hmm. Killa.
Were they both born as slaves also?
They evidently, well, they were, we don't have a record of them back in slaves. When we first knew them, they were free there. I don't have a record of them back. For our record, first knew about them, they was free there. Yeah.
And you have some good portraits at your house for some of your family, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Which people do you have portraits for?
Wait a minute. We had those portraits, but when we got born out, we got born out twice, so that we don't have any at the present.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any at the present. But we had them before. We got born out twice, and of course that done away with a lot of things.
Sure does. Tell me where you are living now, if you will, please.
We're living on that. In the town of Clemson, since incorporated, living in the town of Clemson on Benson Boulevard. That's home, that. In other words, that they run the street across a lot that my daddy bought, and that's Benson, if you recall. The street named that Benson Boulevard.
And that runs just off of Highway 93.
Correct.
Not too far from Maybell Church.
That's right.
You're living within just a few miles of where you were born and grew up.
That's right.
And close to a church where you've had long attachment also.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been connected with Abel Church?
I joined Abel Church in 1925. And I've been right in here ever since.
Abel is one of the oldest churches around, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's the oldest one because there's three churches branched out from Abel. That is New Hope, which it was, little Abel before it got the name of New Hope, but New Hope Baptist Church, and a Golden View Baptist Church, and Silver Spring at Pionta. Those three churches sprang out from Abel.
There's also a good history of the Abel Baptist Church that traces it back to 1868 when it was founded.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
We won't try to include all of that discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the beginning of Abel Baptist Church. I meant, in other words, that's when they recorded the history. 1988, that's right. Yeah,
2 of the people mentioned in the history of the church are the Haywoods. Tell me about Harrison Haywood and his daughter Susie, if you will.
Haywood.
Yes. Tell me first about Harrison and his connection with the church.
Let me see. Haywood. Something about the Haywood.
He was clerk of the church, wasn't he?
She was the clerk of the church, and she'd taken up the position of her father. Her father was a clerk, and she'd taken it up here. She have it in here.
And what you're looking at is a 4-page history of the church done by Susie Haywood, isn't it?
Yeah, this was recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was recorded by her.
The names of many of the early ministers and founding deacons are in the book, so we won't go through all of those. Tell me what connections you have had with Abel Church and what positions you have held here at the church.
Since I've been allied with the Abel Baptist Church, I've served in every capacity in the church. I've served in all the starting Sunday school, and I've served several capacities.
You've served, I believe, as superintendent of the Sunday school.
Yeah.
How long have you done that?
Superintendent. Up to the date is since 1934. Let me see. 1934. How long?
More than half a century, 54 years.
Oh, right.
Right. And you have done a lot of study, taken a lot of training courses, and gotten a lot of awards for this.
Yeah, I tried out of there. I've taken from the state, I've taken out quite a few of them. I don't know, I might have had it in there. But in other words, I've taken several courses.
Several of them, I believe, have been offered through Morris College. Is that right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. The major part of them was Morris College. Of course, I had are we taking a course over here at Anderson? I forgot. We've taken quite a few courses on the church. I got on the church. And we in 1980, we completed a course over on the ministry. Now, of course, it wasn't, but I've taken that course. But it was composed of ministers. But I did take the course over there. It was 4 years on ministerial teachers. They don't come to your memory.
You've also, I believe, worked for a long time with the cemetery.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I worked quite a while at the cemetery.
How long have you worked with the cemetery?
I had that since then. Something like 22 years. I'm saying it's something like 22 years. Now, what happened, since 1868, there hadn't been but three cemetery supervisors, and I'm the third one. And I'd taken charge in 1920. Well, it could be exactly about 25 years that I've been serving as a cemetery.
Who were the other two supervisors before you?
Deacon Dave Witt and Jim Cannon.
Do you know how long Dave Witt served?
I don't have the date, but it was since 68.
Probably as long as he lived. Probably about as long as he lived, I bet.
Yeah, they were pretty good age when they lived, but during that time they served as supervisor of the cemetery. They did a not a good record the way they did it, because they didn't write down anything.
Well, fortunately, you know a lot about that, at least for the period since you've been serving, so we'll go out into the cemetery and do some talking in a little while.
And we have a written record about, that is, Now, we don't, there's one thing we omitted, but we didn't take a record of the death, but we just took a record of those that put it down at that deceased and put it on a chart. We put it up in put it up on the wall there on the chart, and have a kind of a history, like a maps like that. Got it laid out. We have some stakes out there. Graveyard number 3, we have put a fair record of that, because we taken that over since we've been in charge. But number 1 and number 2, we don't have too good a record of it, but we just got a record about what we recorded from the tomb rocks and things like that. Mm-hmm. But number 3, we have put a fair record of on them, because we do have on a sketch on a map up there that we can look on that map and go back out there to the stake on the line, and we can go down the line by numbering, find the grave.
So with your map and with your memory, you can pretty well identify most of the graves in the churchyard. You said that Dave Witt had been supervisor of the cemetery starting in 1868. Uh-huh. How soon after the church was founded do you think the first burial might have been?
I wouldn't know, but after they purchased the church and land, I think they put it immediately. I'm thinking after they started the burying, after the members start passing, how they start the burying, and pretty well in.
You have mentioned 3 different sections of the cemetery. Could you describe for us the difference between these 3 sections?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, they're on the, well, this would be the south side. That's cemetery number 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the south side of the church, number 1. On the south side of the church.
Cemetery number 1, I assume, is the oldest section.
Right.
And it has the fewest tombstones, doesn't it?
Less few, yeah.
But you do have a map of it.
No, we don't have a map of
you
that.
Don't have a map on that.
No.
So there are lots of plots in cemetery number 1 that you do not know who's buried there.
Correct. That's correct. I do have a cemetery number 2. That's in the, right there.
In the rear of the church.
Rear of the church. We have a faint record of that. It's not too accurate, but we do have a map of it, and have a record of more, that's later part, one that's been buried there later. Since we was in charge, we have a pretty good record of those who were buried in number 2 on their map.
And how far back does cemetery number 2 go?
It went back. It went back, let's see. It's something like a 116 about 1/16 of a mile back.
I'm sorry, how far back in time? When was it first created? When did they first begin using cemetery number two?
Number two. Well, now number two, it was started using, they started using number two about I can't remember, but when they completed number one, they didn't complete it. They thought they'd completed it because they didn't keep a record of that, you know. And so there was a lot, they are still some vacants out there, number one, but nobody kept a record of them, so we just don't know. But after they thought they had finished number one, well, then they purchased this area here on the back, I'd say about 16 of an acre, and they started bearing out there. But now I'm trying to think about the date. That date's here.
Let's go ahead.
But but I'm trying to think of the date of about when.
Well, we may figure that out when we go out to the cemetery. What about part number three? When did it begin?
It started in maybe I had a record of it somewhere. I had a record of it, and it was started, I don't know whether there's anything in there about cemetery.
I don't think this includes it, but we can check on that when we go outside, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you been working with the cemetery during the entire time that area number three has been used, or did it?
No. It is used number, section number, supervisor number two, he supervised a good while after we purchased it. But after he passed, well, then I take it over.
And most of the graves in areas number two and three have tombstones, don't they?
In number, now quite a few of them, not too many of them, but not too many of them in number two, and there's a few in number three. But this, we got a record of those things by, well, there's a few of them on, there's a few in number two, and also in number three. Now, we have a better record. No, we don't have no record hardly to go by the tombstone, even in number three, but we just go by the record that we kept on that map in there.
Abel Cemetery has been very important for the Black community, and I believe there are quite a few people buried here who are not connected with the church. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. There used to be a lot of them. There used to be a lot of them. There used to be that every time somebody died, they were going to bury them. They were going to bury over there. There wasn't anything special about burying ground like then. They just know they buried them, know they buried dead people that they buried, so they just that's about burying that.
And some of the other churches around, I think like Golden View, have not created their own cemeteries, but their people have continued to use Abel.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Let me ask you a couple of other things about the burials. Let's go back, say, about 1925, roughly the time you joined Abel. If somebody in your family had died in 1925, would there have been Black funeral homes to handle the body?
No, I don't know of one.
Did the families then do that themselves?
No, the white undertaker, they buried them.
So yeah. All of that was handled by the white undertakers?
That's right. Yeah, they didn't bury them. Because back when my parents passed, I know they were at the white undertaker. But it wasn't I don't know. It's about a peach, the first colored undertaker that we knew about, and he told me at Allison. Mm-hmm. That was back in 1924, I believe in 1924, something like that. I believe that's when we first knew about. That was it. That was around here. That's the first one we knew about.
So prior to that, you would have used white undertakers.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
After the funeral home had prepared the body, would the body then have been kept in the family home for a day or two prior to burial?
They wondered, yeah, from experience, that's where we kept it at home.
And then everybody would come by the home to visit the family and for the viewing.
That's right. Yeah. They didn't keep them too long. And of course, they fixed them up where they could keep them day or some night. Day or two.
What about the funeral itself? Did it take place in the home or in the church?
In the church. Mm-hmm. In the church. The funeral at the church.
Was that always the case? Did the funerals ever take place in homes, or were they always in the church?
I don't remember ever having like that. I go to the church now. Sometimes they would, every once in a while, you'd hear tell of having a graveside. You know, every once in a while. That wasn't often. They go to the church.
What about people who had no connections with the church? Would they still be buried in the churchyard? I don't mean just connections with this church, but people who had no religious connections.
Yeah, this essentially wouldn't have any idea whether they were connected with the church or not. They'd bury them.
I have just been looking at some records from Seneca Junior College from about 75 years ago, and they listed a number of the students saying they were not Christians, but they still would have been eligible for burial in the churchyard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they would have been more special. Yeah. I know, yeah, in this area it would have been because he come to Abia.
Let me ask you one more question. When somebody would have died perhaps 60 or 70 years ago or more recently, how did the community react? Did they bring in a lot of food to help the family through that time, or what types of community support was there during a grieving period?
Well, yes, what it had, like what it had, no way to keep it over a day or so. They bring food, and they always did that. They, first I knew about it, sign the people in the community that somebody passed it, bring in food. And bring in food, and then another thing was somebody passing, no insurance and stuff like that. People take a list and go around. People take a list, you know. In other words, they just notified somebody deceased, didn't have no insurance. We got to get something to bear them with, and they take up. It didn't take too much to bear. Nothing I can do now. Nothing I can do now. It didn't take too much to bear them, but that is one way they had of showing that they key out in.
What about the plots in the churchyard? Did people have to pay for those?
Plots?
Yes.
In the church.
So those were available free?
Yeah, they're back. Yeah, they were free. Yeah. They didn't charge them.
So as far as you know, nobody ever paid to be buried in the churchyard?
Not back, but since we took over and the things changed around, a non-member, they paid for the grave. A non-member of this church or Golden View. Now Golden View and Abel, their members have access to bearing grief.
Let me stop just a minute and turn the tape over if I can. Mm-hmm.